Hello, Ronnie Malley. It's great to be talking with you.
Hi, Julia. It's wonderful to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. Now, you're headed our way shortly with a multifaceted journey along the Andalusian Trail. Geographically, that's southern Spain. What does that translate into culturally?
Well, for about 700 years, there were many languages spoken, predominantly Arabic, in Spain, because a lot of people considered it Islamic Spain for about, like I said, 700 years, from the year 711 AD and on. But during that time, a lot of different cultures crossed over to Spain, Cordoba, because it became like a hub for learning. So a lot of the European Enlightenment came out of Spain. There were travelers from India, there were travelers from North Africa, from the Middle East, and a lot of culture kind of contributed to this shared culture of Spain. And what was very unique about it is that it was also very interfaith. Jews, Christians, and Muslims kind of shared in one culture with their religious diversity. And part of what we're bringing with the Andalusian Trail is celebrating this rich heritage of cross-cultural learning and exchange. And so one portion of our set over the Andalusian Trail really celebrates the path that the Roma people, which some might know as the Gypsies, took out of Rajasthan, India, and they splintered going through North Africa and into Spain. Some went into Eastern Europe as well. And they had a profound effect on the music, particularly flamenco music. And North African and Middle Eastern music also had a very similar effect. So the second set we're doing is celebrating that classical tradition of poetry, of classical music as well.
And what a panorama you're painting there. So what are your own musical roots in that part of world culture?
Pretty interesting. I was born and raised in Chicago. I'm first generation Palestinian American. And my father is a musician as well.
Uh-huh.
So he really gave us a great outlook into music from these regions. But being born in Chicago, my cousins also being first generation made sure to give me a nice healthy dose of rock and roll and blues. So I grew up playing music, you know, in band from fifth grade on, mainly on percussion. My family is a family of percussionists. Actually, my brother and my father are both drummers. And so every birthday I would get some kind of a cassette from my cousins, from Metallica to Judas Priest to Iron Maiden to all kinds of groups like that. And I never thought anything of it, really. But in a weird way, now I look back at it, a lot of the music that was being played on those albums actually resembled a lot of the scales that we use in Mid-Eastern music, and especially like Renaissance music. So it was a strange affinity to have for both cultures. And I just remember one day my dad enduring us listening to the heaviest of the heavy. I was listening to Slayer in the car. And he endured it, and he was very gracious about it. And he just said, okay, it's done. Do you want to just listen to this cassette here? And he put in a cassette of an Egyptian artist. He was kind of like a crooner. His name was Abdel Halim Hafez. And he said, just listen carefully. It's got guitar on it too, you know. And boy, I heard that, and it was like something just went off in my head. And I thought, this is amazing music. What is this? And once I started getting to a lot of the Middle Eastern music, I said, okay, well, just learn these songs. And he gave me a really huge repertoire to start learning. Now, when I say learn, I mean by ear mainly, because I was born B.I., you know, before the internet. And being born before access to YouTube and these things, I had to literally, like, beg people to please bring me back music, sheet music or cassettes or anything. And so a large part of my formative years in music, playing Middle Eastern music, was actually by ear and through apprenticeships by my dad's friends, who were also exceptional musicians from overseas and whatnot. So it was kind of like learning in the old way of learning, of that kind of oral tradition being passed on. And we ended up having a family band for about 15, 20 years, just touring across the states, playing weddings, clubs, festivals. I kid you not, probably every weekend for a good 10, 15 years.
Good for you, and it sounds like the origins of your passion, nature or nurture, whatever, you were hardwired with it, and then, of course, developed it too, and just eased into the professional side of it. Good for you. So your own musical platforms at this point in your life are musical and theatrical stages. You're an author, educator. Have you ever met a medium you don't like?
You know, life is about being curious. One of my favorite playwrights and friend, who I'm honored to be able to call a friend, Mary Zimmerman, she had a line in one of her plays that I was in, and I thought, boy, that is probably a mantra for life. It was from the Arabian Nights, and this young lady named Sympathy is, so to speak, debating with other sages, and they're all trying to outdo her. And one of them just gets up and said, oh yeah? Well, tell me, what's the meaning of life? And she just looks back and she says, to cultivate enthusiasm. And I just thought, you know, that is truly like the meaning of life. You have to be curious. You have to love everything that you do. And if you do, other people will see that, I think, and they'll feel that as well, which is really why I'm very excited about Surabhi as a group. It's a very diverse group. Very excited about the program that we have, the Andalusian Trail. And whatever medium that we need to explore to get it out there, I mean, for me, that's just more selfish because that way I get to meet other artists who are visual artists, who are poets, who are writers, and just to collectively get some kind of a collective brain going here so we can, you know, solve all the problems of the world.
One song at a time, I understand that. And give us the range of musical instruments and dance styles and costuming that you will be showing us as you guide that trip along that exquisite Andalusian trail that you're bringing.
Well, it is kind of like a little traveling music instrument museum. I personally play an instrument called al-oud, which is the predecessor to the European lute. In fact, the word lute comes from al-oud, and it's actually like the great-great-grandfather of the guitar. It's a stringed instrument, looks like a half watermelon, and it was originated in Iraq and brought to Spain about 1,200 years ago. So alongside of that, we also do have Spanish guitar. The other really wonderful instrument we have from India is the veena, which is one of the oldest stringed instruments around, really, especially from India. And that's played by our exceptional Sarasvati Ranganathan. And she plays Indian veena that many people might mistaken for a sitar. And indeed, actually, her namesake and instrument come from the Hindu goddess, whose name is also Sarasvati and is always portrayed playing the veena. So if you do come, you will be in divine company.
In more ways than one, I have a feeling.
Yeah, and we have additional percussion instruments that will accompany us, like the Indian tabla, but we also have the cajon, and the dance styles that we're going to have kind of exemplify all of those regions. We're going to actually have three dancers with us, and one does predominantly like Middle Eastern folk. The other will be doing Spanish flamenco, classical Spanish as well. And the other dancer, she does what they call Bharatanatyam, which is a South Indian classical dance form. But she's a brilliant contemporary dancer as well. So we have some pretty amazing practitioners from these traditions. I'm very fortunate and happy to be working with.
It just sounds like quite an extravaganza. And you obviously have a wonderful world of culture and knowledge and spirit to share. In your mind, why is music and movement the best pathway for that?
I mean, the simplest answer for me is it's the one way that I know. If I knew how to do this as a banker, I'd probably be doing the same. But people do say that music is a universal language, and art in general is very universal. And I would agree with that. I would take it a step further, though, to break it down and not necessarily just simplify it, but saying, yes, it's a universal language, but it's also spoken in many different dialects.
Good point.
I think it's important to understand some of those dialects so we understand each other better. But, you know, it's a means of appealing to people's minds and their heart. It's not rhetoric only, you know. It's an ability for them to see the truth, or at least perceive the truth in their own way, to interpret it in their own way, as opposed to feeling like they're being bombarded by it. I think that's a very important aspect of how we could see the world. So from music, movement, and things like that, people can just relate to that. It's a neutral zone that, you know, we can actually explore communication, explore what the world is like, and use it as a platform that's nonviolent for the most part, especially when you're playing music with others. You know, it's very difficult to consider playing music on stage with somebody that you really hate or don't like, or you're at odds. You have to find a certain relative calm, even if you guys don't agree with each other, to be able to create this beauty together.
It's amazing that we have an opportunity for such wonderful share and a walk along the Andalusian Trail. How did it happen that we got to have you coming here for this?
Well, I can't say thank you enough to the Indiana Center for Middle East Peace, to Michael Spath, to Cherry Doherty, to Barbara O'Connor, and all of those amazing, amazing people doing wonderful work trying to bring truth and justice to the world. And I really appreciate their vision in bringing a musical act to help represent and carry forth their message. So once again, thank you to the Indiana Center for Middle East Peace.
It's a wonderful point. Thank you very much for that. And I know you're mighty busy. So before I let you go, I would like to ask, besides the sheer enjoyment, what do you most hope that your audience here in Fort Wayne is going to take away?
Well, besides seeing an amazing show with all the absolutely talented artists that I'm very privileged to share the stage with, they're going to take home a little bit of history. Something that I've really turned into my mantra from the past couple of years in being a playwright is that there's a lot of history out there that is not necessarily wrong, but there's a lot of history out there that's omitted. There are a lot of facts and things that are omitted from history. And kind of going back to the beginning of our conversation, growing up with Western classical, Western rock and roll, and all that style of music in tandem with Middle Eastern and all of that, I realized, like, there's a missing link to all of this. There's a missing link to music. What was it? And for me, I discovered Andalusia. I discovered southern Spain. I discovered, wow, this is a place where so many cultures from around the world came to. And if anything at all, I'm hoping that people can come and see a reflection of what it's like to see a group of people that come from very different backgrounds living together and sharing in one culture. And I like to compare that to what America is like and can be like. And I think it's the strongest comparison, really, because wonderful and great things have flourished during those Renaissance periods. And, you know, we're kind of in that right now. And hopefully this could be, if anything, just planting a seed in the minds of people to view history through a lens seldom seen.
Ronnie Malley, it's been lovely talking to you. You're an amazing inspiration to all of us, and Fort Wayne is ready to welcome your Sarabi ensemble. Safe travels and ever happy Andalusian trails.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you very much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
That was WBOI's Julia Meek, speaking by phone with Sarabi Ensemble co-founder Ronnie Malley. The music you're hearing is the Sarabi Ensemble's Swan Song. You can hear more of Julia Meek's arts and culture coverage on 89.1 WBOI.